In the past, we spoke about the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah and the other mitzvahs of the Yom. So I thought today we'd speak a little bit about the Cheftz of the Megillah itself. I mean, what makes up a kosher Megillah? Of course, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, the Megillah itself must be kosher. So let's just give a little bit of an overview of some of the halachos that make up a kosher Megillah. And drawing a little bit on some of the things we spoke about in the past in terms of some hilchos tefillin and mezuzah and kisvei kodesh in general, what are some of the guidelines for what some of the requirements for a Megillah? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that Megillah is similar yet different from other kisvei kodesh, that it has certain similarities to hilchos sefer Torah, to hilchos tefillin, to hilchos mezuzah. It has to be written with certain ways that are similar, yet there are some very real differences between what goes into the preparation of a kosher Megillah as different than maybe clues, maybe chum, than Sefer Torah and other Kisvei Kodesh. So one of the differences that the Gemara highlights is the fact that whereas a Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzos have to be written in Ksav Ashuris, they have to be written in the official Sefer Torah script of Ksav Ashuris, the Gemara says that that Megillah is B'chol Lashon, that one can actually read the Megillah, even not in Hebrew, one can write a Megillah in English. If a person understands English, then he can be Yotzei the Megillah in English. If a person doesn't understand English, then he cannot be Yotzei the Megillah in English. The Rishonim drew a distinction between Lashon HaKodesh in contrast to other languages. Lashon HaKodesh, so Hebrew is an official language. That's it. The Torah accepts that as the official language of Kisvei Kodesh. And therefore, even if one person doesn't understand Hebrew, he would still be Yotzei the Mitzvah. The Gemara says that nobody really understands the Megillah. There are words in the Megillah that even Chazal didn't understand. The Gemara says, Achashtranim b'nei Ramachim. So nobody knows who the Achashtranim and who the b'nei Ramachim were. So maybe Rabbi Landi knows it. I don't know from his video presentation from last week. But most of us don't know what Achashtranim b'nei Ramachim is. The Gemara says, you're still Yotzei the Mitzvah. So create some Megillah in another language. In Hebrew is okay, even if you don't understand it. Create some Megillah in other languages is questionable. If a person doesn't understand the language, then he would not be, I'd say, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. So the Gemara says that whereas the Sefer Torah, the Tefillin Mezuzah has to be written in Ksav Ashuris, the only other possible language to write the Sefer Torah would be, the Gemara, at least according to one Tana, is that you can write a Sefer Torah in Greek. The Gemara learns that a pasuk, Yafta Lekim Liyefes Mishkan Be'al Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a special bracha to the Bnei Yefes, to the Greeks, that they get a special schus that you can write a Sefer Torah in their Ksav. Tefillin Mezuzah is not, but Sefer Torah maybe yes. So the Rambam writes that Bezman Hazeh you cannot do that anymore because the Greek of today is not the Greek of old. The old character, the ancient Greek letters, was a special chiddush of the Torah you could write a Sefer Torah in, but not today's modern day Greek. So most of us are not writing Sefer Torah in Greek anymore. All the Sefer Torah are going to be in Ksav Ashuris, and the Tefillin are going to be in Ksav Ashuris, and Mezuzah are going to be in Ksav Ashuris. And Megillas Esther, in theory, could be in another language. So there is a machlekes in the Rishonim when we say that a Megillas Esther can be written in another language. Does that mean that the letters are actually going to be in another language as well? It means you're going to write in the days of Xerxes, whatever the thing was, in the days of, so you can write I-N-T-H-E, in the days of, like that. So that's what some Rishonim say. Yep, that if the halacha is that a Megillah can be with Halashon, so that means literally B'chol Lashon mamish in English characters. And other Rishonim say no. I don't know. Maybe does it have Kedushas Kisvei Kodesh in English? I don't know. I'm not sure. But other Rishonim say, no, it's not true. You cannot write a Megillah in English. When the Gemara says that the Megillah can be read in English, what that means is as follows. It means that you could write the words in English. You're going to say, transliterating the Megillah, you could write the words in English, but the characters that you use have to be characters of Kisvei Kodesh, have to be characters of Ksav Ashuris. So if you want to write the Megillah in the days of, so you'd have to write in Aleph Yud Nun, in the, that's right, the, okay, days, Dalet Aleph Yud, like you're writing Sibla, like you're writing Get, you'd have to, you know, spelling out names, you'd have to write the English words, but you have to use the Hebrew characters, like Yiddish, like Ladino, I don't know, it's a different language, but it uses the Kisvei HaKodesh characters, except for Shuri's characters. According to some Rishonim, it would be inconceivable to write a Megillah in any other character, even a Megillah Esther, that's you can read in B'chol Lashon. The Ksav has to be a Ksav Ashuris. What's the issue? Why does some Rishonim insist that it's inconceivable to write a Megillah in other characters? So there is a Machlekes Rishonim in Hilchos Shabbos. If a person writes in other languages, is he Chayev on Shabbos? If a person writes in English, a person writes in Spanish, is he Chayev for writing on Shabbos? So we paskin that he is Chayev. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim in the simple reading of the Gemara is that you would be Chayev. But there was one opinion in the Rishonim, the Arzaruah, and a few others that held like him, but the Arzaruah, Ben Yoel, and others, A small minority of Rishonim held that you're only chayef for writing on Shabbos if you're writing ksav ashuris. Any other ksav is not sanctioned by the Torah. Any other ksav is not accepted by the Torah. It's just scribbling. It's not considered to be a ksivas osios. So according to that understanding, that if a person writes in English, it would be potter on Shabbos. It would only be an issa derabbanan to write on Shabbos. Again, we don't pass like that. But if it would only be an issa derabbanan to write on Shabbos, so then we can understand that it's inconceivable that you can write the Megillas Esther in other characters, because the Megillas Esther has to be mitoch haksav. The halach is that you can't say the Megillah Baal Peh. You have to have a mitoch haksav. So if other scripts are not considered to be ksiva in halach, so then that's not considered to be ksav. So you don't have a Megillah that's written down for you. So maybe that's the source for those Rishonim who say that it's inconceivable to write the Megillah in other scripts. But maybe according to we who paskin that other scripts are considered to be ksav in halacha for the purpose of Hilchos Shabbos, maybe it would be good enough for Kriya Sa Megillah as well. So again, not too relevant. L'maisa, no one's writing Megillahs in other languages, but in theory, this would be a possible difference between Megillah and Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah is absolutely out of the question if it's not ksav ashuris, whereas in a Megillah, at least there's a possibility. Other languages for sure, maybe even different ksav and different scripts would be acceptable as well. Gemara says that a Megillah is similar to a Sefer Torah in the sense that it has to be written on cloth. You cannot write a Megillah on a piece of paper. It has to be written with Dio. It has to be written with black ink. There's a Machlekes HaRishon when we speak about Dio in Hilchos Sefer Torah. Does Dio mean that it has to be a very specific type of ink? There are certain ingredients that have to go into the ink. Well, no ingredients, no halacha. As long as it's black, black is black. So that's how we probably pass, like the Rambam. The Rambam holds that there is no halach, there's no formula as to what the ink has to look like. If it's black, so it's kosher. That's why according to the Rambam, you can take out a pen out of your pocket and you have to fix up the Sefer Torah a little bit, so you can do that. Because as long as it's black, it doesn't make a difference. There is no official halacha as to what governs the ingredients of the ink. So that, whatever the halacha is by Sefer Torah, that's the halacha by Megillah. So the halacha is clearly that you have to write a Megillah kid dine Sefer Torah, that it has to be on cloth and has to be whatever the standards of halachic ink are for Hilchos Sefer Torah. The Gemara says that there's another chiddush in the Megillah, that when you write the Megillah requires sirtut, that you have to, before you write the actual words, so you have to draw lines, you have to make indentations, make little scratches into the cloth itself, and you have to write it on those lines. That's what's called an halacha sirtut. So the Gemara says, how do you know that a Megillah requires sirtut? So the Gemara learns out from a strange pasuk. The Gemara says, in the Megillah itself, the Megillah is referred to divrei shalom ve'emes. So divrei shalom ve'emes, the Gemara takes that and halachic sense, ka'amita shel Torah. Just as the emes of the Torah has to be written with sirtut, you can't write the Torah without sirtut, so too the halacha says that the Megillah has to have sirtut, and if you don't use sirtut, if you write a Megillah without the proper lines, without the proper rulers, so then the Megillah would be not acceptable. So what does that mean, ka'amita shel Torah, that it requires sirtut? So this was the machlekes harishonim to Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. So Rashi's opinion was that a Sefer Torah itself, of course, requires Sirtut. What's the Shaila? If the Gemara says that a Megillah needs Sirtut, just like a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, so built into that statement, that of course, if you write a Sefer Torah without Sirtut, it's not going to be acceptable. And Rabbi Natam disagrees. Rabbi Natam says, we learn throughout all of Masechus Benachos, all of the Suyas of Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzahs, the Gemara never says that Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, ever. There's no such halacha. Says Rabbi Natam, the only thing that requires Sirtut is Mezuzah. The Gemara says in Menachos, there was a halacha l'moshe Messina that Mezuzah requires Sirtut. If you take look, next time you open up your mezuzahs, take a look, you'll see that, hopefully you'll see, or if not, you get your money back, that on top of each line of the mezuzahs, you'll see there's a little scratched out, there's a like a ruler line that was drawn. That's a halacha Moshe Messina, that mezuzah requires sirtut, and even tefillin don't require sirtut. The Gemara says there were two halacha Moshe Messinas. There's a halacha Moshe Messina that mezuzah requires sirtut, and then there's another halacha Moshe Messina that tefillin doesn't require sirtut. So Sefer Torah, the Gemara never says, boom. The Gemara never says which way it is. So Rashi said, of course it needs. If the Gemara says Megillah needs, because it's compared to the Torah, so of course the understanding is, the implication is that a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut. Rabbi Natan says no, that we're not Mechadish Halacha Moshe Messina by ourselves, that Kach Nemar Halacha Moshe Messina Mezuzah, yes, and nothing else. So what in the world does the Gemara mean when it says that Megillah requires Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah? So Rabbi Natan says what that means is a mezuzah is called the Mitzvah Shel Torah. Why is mezuzah called the Mitzvah Shel Torah? Because it has the Shema Yisrael in it. Very hard to understand. The film is also a Shema Yisrael in it. Sefer Torah also a Shema Yisrael in it. So The Ben Hatam says, no, that's what the Gemara means, that Megillah requires Sirtut like a mezuzah, ka'amita shel Torah, and therefore it's ma'akiv even b'di'evet. But guess what? A Sefer Torah doesn't require Sirtut. It's a very, very strange halacha, according to Ben Hatam, that we usually think of the standards of Megillah being lower than the standards of Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah has to be k'sabashuri, Megillah, nishkafelach. Here, the standards are higher, that a Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut, yet a Megillah does require Sirtut. Very, very strange. In Shulchan Aruch, we don't pasken next to Rabbeinu Tam. We pasken in Shulchan Aruch that a Sefer Torah does require Sirtut. Min HaTorah, we assume that was Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, even for a Sefer Torah. So therefore, for us, it's not such a surprising Halacha, that basically, Megillah is following the same pattern of Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah needs cloth, Megillah needs cloth. Sefer Torah needs D.O., needs ink. So Megillah needs ink. Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, so Megillah needs Sirtut. And it's a little bit of a quirk. Sefer Torah needs Ksavashuris, and maybe Megillah doesn't. But by and large, the general flow of the halacha is not like Rabbeinu Tam. The flow of the halacha is that pretty much Sefer Torah and Megillah are going hand in hand. But here
the original Megillah, was it written in Aramaic or Hebrew?
It was written in the text of the Megillah that we have today. V'tichtav Esther Malka Mordechai is called what it says in the Megillah. It's called Tokef, means the whole story from beginning to end was written in the text that we have today in Lashon HaKodesh. Yeah. But here there is a major difference between the standards for a Sefer Torah and the standards for a Megillah, and that's what the Gemara talks about in Masechus Megillah. What if some letters are missing in a Megillah? So when it comes to a Sefer Torah, when it comes to Tefillah Mezuzah, so then the halacha is clear that a Sefer Torah that's missing even one letter is absolutely possible. Tefillah that are missing even one letter absolutely possible. Mezuzah that's missing one letter is possible. And we spoke about the dinim. What did we learn? Tefillah Mezuzah this year already, right? It's been a long. Rip has been so long. I forgot already. So we mentioned that the Gemara Menachas and the Chavtas tells us that not only if a letter is missing from a pair of tefillin or from a mezuzah is the whole cheftish mitzvah possible, even if part of the letter is missing, it's also possible, that depending on how bad the part of the letter is, if you have a significant part of the letter that's missing, that's also possible. Then the Gemara says, even if you have two letters and they're touching each other, that's also possible. So tefillin and mezuzah, the standards are very, very high. With the Sefer Torah, the standards are also very, very high. The only thing is, when it comes to Sefer Torah, the Rambam writes in the Tshuva that when we speak about a Sefer Torah requiring every single letter in order to be kosher, the Rambam says that means whenever you require Sefer Torah min HaTorah, let's say, for example, for the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, so that's one of the Tayag mitzvahs, the last one, so you have to have a kosher Cheftz of a Sefer Torah. So a Sefer Torah requires every single letter in order to be a kosher Cheftz of a Sefer Torah. So if you miss one letter, the whole Sefer Torah is possible, and you're not yet to the mitzvah. But the Rambam says, let's say you have a Sefer Torah that's missing a couple of letters, and you just want to lane from it. So laning is on a midrabbanan, the whole institution of Kriyas HaTorah, except for maybe Parshas Zochar, maybe Parshas Parah, okay, we're in the good weeks this week, but by and large, 99.9% of Kriyas HaTorah that we have, except for Hakel, so it's on a midrabbanan. So the Rambam says, since the whole Kriyas HaTorah is on a midrabbanan, so he basing on a Gemara Maseches Gittin, that maybe the Chachamim formulated the Takona that a person can be yaitzeh in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah even with the Sefer Torah is missing a couple of letters here and there. If the whole Sefer Torah is not there, that's a reading from Chumash. But if you have basically a Sefer Torah and you have a Yud's missing, a couple of letters, a touching here and there, so the Sefer Torah is kosher for the purposes of Kriyas HaTorah. This is the Rambam Shita as appears in a Tshuva. The only problem is that the Rambam Mishneh Torah doesn't write that way. Not only does he not write that way, he writes Mamish the opposite of that. Rambam Mishneh Torah writes that if you have a Sefer Torah that's missing a letter, so ain't korin bo betzibur. One cannot fulfill the mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah with it. So this is a question how we should pasken lahalacha. So we usually assume a split psak on this. That means lechatchila we will not lay with the Sefer Torah that's quote unquote puzzle that's missing even one letter. But if the tzibur already lane from it, and then they realize it, so they're halfway through Kriyas HaTorah, they realize that that there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah, so whatever they laned up until that point, they were yaitzeh b'di'evet. B'di'evet, we rely on the Shitas Tshuvas HaRambam. It wasn't only the Rambam, there were some other Rishonim who held that way also. So b'di'evet, we fall back on the Rambam Shita, and we don't lane over again. But mikan lahaba, we're not going to continue laning with it. We're going to insist on taking out a different Sefer Torah. So that's basically what how we pasken the halacha. The source for this split lahalacha was from the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef, the Ma'ari Beirav. Yaakov Beirav was the Rav in Tzfat at the time of the Beis Yosef. He was the senior Rav. He was the one who gave smicha to everybody in Tzfat. So he was the one who came up with this pshar. He came up with this compromise that we fall back on the Tshuva Saramba, but at least b'di'evet. Whatever was laying already, so we're not going to make a fuss about. But mikan lahaba, we're going to insist on following most of the Rishonim. So somebody told me a story that they were in Tzfat for Shabbos a year ago or so. He's one of those, I forgot about it, that they laned and they put the Sefer Torah. Yeah, and then they made him start all over again for the parasha. Yeah, I forgot to read it. It's hard to tell me the story. Okay, so remember him a little bit. Okay, so he was in Tzfat for Shabbos, and they were in the middle of laning, and they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah, and whoever was the Rav in the shul announced that we have to start Kriyas Torah all over again. So I thought that was very strange. I said Tzfat was Maribe Rav. He was the Rav laying down. That was where the Psach emanated from all of Klal Yisrael. Now in Tzfat, now 500 years later, so we came from within the Maribe Rav. So I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what happened there. But the halacha is you don't have to, you don't have to read over again. We had an interesting shalom yeshiva, this was back then, before I was married, 15, 20 years ago. So it was Pashas Parah, and we were in the middle of landing Pashas Parah, and lo and behold, they found a mistake in the middle of Pashas Parah. So usually it's a whole complicated thing when you find a mistake in the middle of an aliyah, what do? Do you stop? You make a brach, you take out another safe, machaber, it gets very complicated. But one thing that you don't have to do is you don't have to relane what it said previously. So when they found the mistake, so whoever was calling the shots in the basement at the time, so said, just continue on. So we'll continue in the second half of Pashas Parah for the next Sefer Torah. So I remember at the time, I was very disturbed with that psak. I thought that, v'med d'var mamurim, that we rely on this, the Das Yochanan, the Rambam, that's because Kriyas HaTorah is only the Rabbanan anyway, the whole thing is the Rabbanan, and maybe the Rambam says for the Rabbanan, you don't need to crush Sefer Torah. But the only two Kriyas HaTorahs that may be their rice, Pashas Zoch, Tosfos says it's for sure deraisa, and Pashas Parah maybe deraisa. Tells us that two gersels and tells us the Gra says Tachan the whole thing was a mistake. Pashas Parah is also derabanan, but Shulchan Aruch quotes that Yesh Omrim that Pashas Parah is a shalva deraisa. So I thought, what for the 30 seconds to start back from the beginning? It's not so long, Pashas Parah, to go back to the beginning to get a Pashas Parah from a Chash Sefer Torah. We should rely on the Rambam's Tshuva that's against the Rambam's Torah. So I thought that was very funny. So I remember the time Rabbi Simon was also Bachan Neshib at the time. So both of us were like looking at each other like what. What happened over here? So and we were out voting. We weren't even asked for the vote. So I think it could be afterwards. Maybe we took out the same Torah, read it again. I don't know. I forgot already what happened. But in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, so we're a little bit more makel. But in terms of what constitutes a kosher Sefer Torah, so we can never really say it's a kosher Sefer Torah, even if there's one letter that's missing. So this is in contrast to a Megillah with the Gemara of the Feirish, that even if a little bit of the Megillah is missing, it's still kosher. What's the source for this? So the Gemara points out that there are two terms that are used in describing the Megillah. One is a sefer, and one is an igeres. So the pasuk itself refers to Megillah Esther as a book, as a sefer. So that conjures up the image of a sefer with a sefer Torah, you know, the real McCoy. On the other hand, the pasuk also refers to Megillah Esther as an igeres, as in a letter. You write a letter, so you don't cross every T and dot every I. You get an email from people. So one of the downsides of email is that if you look at people that mamash have no idea, either they don't know or they're just lazy. People don't know how to write sentences. People don't know how grammars. People don't know how to capitalize. It's gavalic. You don't have to capitalize anything. And it doesn't look bad. It just looks like you're lazy. So it's mamash ridiculous. So that's what the Gemara says in Megaris. You should write sloppy and you miss a couple of words, a couple of letters, big deal. So the Gemara says that since the Megillah has elements of Sefer and elements of Megaris, so the Halach is formulated as follows, that as long as a rove of the Megillah is there, you're okay. Even if you're missing a letter here, a letter there, so the Megillah is still kosher. It's kosher b'diavad. The whole Megillah should be there properly, but b'diavad the Megillah is kosher as long as you have row over there, even though you're missing a couple of letters here and there. So I remember when I bought my new Megillah a couple of years ago when I was in the Rav Paramus. So I bought this brand new Megillah and I spent a lot of money on it. I was going to be mechanech it the first time. They're going to use it for Kriyas Megillah and Shul. So Teddy Levy was the Baal Curry at the time in the Shul. So we were all excited about this brand new Megillah. So he's reading, and he gets to the middle of Perek Beis, and he stops dead in his tracks, and he pulls me over, points, the half of the nun is missing. It was the top nun, and the whole body of the nun wasn't there. His mom's not there. The Megillah was a beautiful, it was a $1,500 Megillah. The whole nun was missing. So I just waved them on. I said, keep on going. The mice and Gil's kosher anyway. We'll worry about it afterwards. So I don't know. The sergeant was getting a phone call in the middle. I don't know what happened. He just forgot to write the end of the noon. So so I felt so bad about it. You know, here I spent so much money in the Megillah. You know, you want to get Megillah, that's kosher, l'chatchila. So at the time, there was somebody who was in shul, was a sofer. You know, Mr. Lemberger Sutherland, if you know, Ramis knows, he's a Taimani. So the odds are, if you find a Taimani, the odds are he's a sofer. So he, and a sheikh and a mohel and everything else. So kachava, so he said that he's a sofer, fix it for me. But he didn't have any ink with him at the time. So Teddy has his ink in his house. Teddy's also a shtickle sofer, but he was nervous. He didn't want to touch the brand new Megillah. So between the Yaki and the Taimani, so we put together, they touched up the nun on the Megillah, and it was ready to go for the second laning for the women. Even later that night, when it had a laning the second time, it was already kosher. It was already got the nun filled in on the spot. So that was the makom patish of the Megillah. Anyway, but the Megillah mice is kosher, no matter what. Even v'di'evad for sure, yeah, to the mitzvah, even if it's missing a couple of letters. There are other differences that play out in terms of the way the Megillah is written between Megillah Esther in contrast to other Kisvei Kodesh. So the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Basra speaks about the whole sug of Kisvei Kodesh happens to appear in the beginning of Bava Basra. What in the world is doing in the beginning of Bava Basra? So the first parak of Bava Basra is parak Hashutfim. So most of the halacha is about how do you divide up the dinim of partnership, responsibilities of one partner to another, how do you divide up a partnership. So in the middle of that sug, the Mishnah talks about what if you have two brothers, they were Yoresh Kisvei Kodesh, they were Yoresh a Sefer. So a very old thing, they were Yoresh the $40 billion library, whatever. So now they have this one chumash. So what are you do with it? So normally, you know, if two brothers, the yorish a big field, so the field's big enough, so you divide up the field and finish. If the yorish an animal, so one brother works it 2 days a week, 3 days a week, you figure out it. They're both yorish the sefer Torah. What are you doing with it? You're going to cut the sefer Torah in half. Well, Shlomo Melch, each one's going to get half of the sefer Torah. What are you doing with it? So the Gemara discusses what you do with it. So in the middle of that sugya, so the Gemara starts talking about all about Kisvei Kodesh. So the five lot in the end of the first parak of Bava Basra, that's where the whole sugya is on who wrote which in Kisvei Kodesh and who wrote what and whatever. The whole those very fascinating Gemaras in the end of parak Hashuot Fin. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara discusses about how you roll the Sefer Torah and how you roll other Kisvei Kodesh. It means how do you make the Amudim? So the Gemara says that there are differences between Sefer Torah and other Kisvei Kodesh, that Sefer Torah has two Amudim to it, it has two Eitz Chaim, there's two wooden poles, and it's Nigla L'Emtza, so you roll it to the middle. Whereas other Kisvei Kodesh only have one pole on them, and you have to roll it in one direction. So it's unclear which direction is it. Do you put the Amud on the front, and then you roll it to the Amud, or do you put the Amud in the back, and you roll it that way to the Amud? So it's unclear what the maskana is. So the Ramah writes, in Hilchos Purim, this will happen after for Megillah. So the Gemara says, befeirish that Megillah, like any other Kisvei Kodesh, is supposed to have a pole on it. It's supposed to have an Eitz Chaim on it. So it's just unclear which way it's supposed to go. So the Ramah is a very, very strange custom. The Ramah writes, well, since we don't know which way to go, some Rishonim have the gear so that it goes to the, it's Nigel L'Tchilosot, and others have the gear so that's Nigel L'Sofon. Should you put the pole at the beginning, should you put the pole at the end? So therefore the Ramah writes, the meaning is you don't put any pole at all. So since you don't know where to put the pole, so you don't put a pole in Rishon, you just have this plain roll of cloth, and you roll it itself without any pole. That's the minute that the Ramah quotes. That's what most Ashkenazi Megillahs look like that. That they don't have any poles at all based on this Ramah. So the Gra was opposed to this. The Gra says, what do you mean? But the Gemara says, you have to have a pole. I mean, it's not ma'akev if you don't have the pole. The Megillah's still kosher. But the Chazal Misapin, the Tzura, what a Kisvei Kodesh is supposed to look, it's supposed to have an Eitz Chaim on it. So you have to decide which way it's supposed to be. So the Gra says, the more correct thing, the way most of the Rishonim say is that the pole goes at the